From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, this is Alan Cairns saying hello to you and welcome to Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you listening in today as we turn to the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 10. Remember that this week we're departing from our ongoing studies in Psalm 138 to look at this wonderful passage in Hebrews on the doctrine of the incarnation of the Son of God. I trust that you'll stay with us for the rest of this 30-minute segment as we turn to the Scriptures. Before we do so, let me remind you of our mailing address and our toll-free telephone number. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. And our toll-free telephone number, 866-877-LTBS, 866-877-5827. Now, you can either write us or call us to order your free copy of our full-color quarterly magazine or of the booklet, Election and Reprobation. I trust that you'll be in touch this week. We certainly appreciate those many people who have called or written. Also, do remember to join us on the web. Our website is www.ltbsradio.com or letthebiblespeakradio.com, as long as you remember to put the radio in the address, ltbsradio.com. And I think you'll find a lot to interest you on our fast-developing website. Now, I think one of everybody's favorite Christmas carols, Away in a Manger. The Republic of Ireland's largest university, University College Dublin, UCD, has banned a planned speaking engagement by a 28-year-old woman who survived an attempt to kill her when she had just been 7 months in utero, that is, in her mother's womb. Her mother underwent a saline abortion, but it didn't kill the developing child. What it did was to afflict her with cerebral palsy, something she has somewhat heroically termed a gift. When she was booked to speak at UCD, the organizers were told by the university that they would have to provide insurance for the event, which they proceeded to do. However, on the morning of the proposed visit, the university decreed that the coverage provided by the insurance company was insufficient and therefore cancelled the event. Organizers searched for the kind of coverage demanded by UCD and found that no insurance company had a policy that offered it. The sort of insurance demanded by the university, on security grounds, they claimed, has never been asked of organizers for any other speaking event. It seems clear that there were powerful people at UCD who did not want their students to hear the personal story of this abortion survivor. Why such a story should be reckoned a high security risk is unfathomable. Abortionists and their supporters kill babies. So why would they scruple at killing free speech at Ireland's largest university? That's what they did. It was intriguing that the day after the report of the banning of the abortion survivor, the Times of London, on November 27, 2005, reported that up to 50 babies a year in Britain are alive after their mothers have had abortions under Britain's National Health Service. Listen to the cold, factual reporting from the Times and ask yourself, where have we come to when such practices can be glibly described as legitimate medical practices? Here's part of the Times report. Referring to the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, it says, its guidelines say that babies aborted after more than 21 weeks and 6 days of gestation should have their hearts stopped by an injection of potassium chloride before being delivered. In practice, few doctors are willing to perform the delicate procedure. For the abortion of younger fetuses, labor is induced by drugs in the expectation that the infant will not survive the birth process. Guidelines say that doctors should ensure that the drugs they use prevent such babies being born alive. Close the quote. But obviously, many babies are, despite all this, born alive. Stuart Campbell, professor of obstetrics at St. George's Hospital, London, said, they can be born breathing and crying at 19 weeks gestation. That has doctors worried. Campbell has produced a book with images of babies in the womb showing facial expressions and making walking movements. With all this evidence that they are dealing with living, breathing, feeling children, not some impersonal fetus, doctors worry that if a survivor of an abortion dies by any action of the medical staff or by lack of care, which one suspects must often occur, then they will be open to a charge of murder. That was the conclusion of the consultant obstetrician who led the Royal College's study into the rate of abortion survival. Now, all this is utterly barbarous. It is the slaughter of the innocent. For every survivor of abortion, there are millions who are put to an unlawful, that is, by God's law, an unlawful death in what Europeans euphemistically term social abortions. Woe to the nation when barbarism has become not only the norm but the law. protests and witness events, though not ecumenical events that link Bible believers with cultists and Roman Catholics in common cause in the name of Christ. Protests and witness events have their place, but the only real hope is to change the hearts of men and women, and that can be done only by the gospel preached and applied by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Surely as never before, we need a mighty spiritual awakening. In dealing with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, we have discussed how God the Father formed the body of Christ by the action of His Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary, performing the miracle of the virgin birth.
Augustine, who was wrong in many things and right in many others, Augustine had the idea. And I think this is what Luke 1:35 is saying. That the Holy Ghost sanctified the substance of Mary. So perfectly. Overshadowing her, that what He took from her was a holy thing. Now that raises questions. You needn't waste your breath coming to ask me, because I'll tell you right now, I don't have the answer. I know that what was produced from Mary was perfect. And she was a sinner. And that's the miracle of the virgin birth. Thus we read in Romans 8 verse 3 that what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus Christ came in flesh that looked like sinful flesh. In other words, he looked entirely human, because he was entirely human. Every other human was a sinner, so therefore you'd have thought his flesh was the same. But you'd be absolutely wrong. It was in the likeness of sinful flesh, but it was sinless flesh. And thus framed, it was perfect for the purpose that God had in mind. It was a fit dwelling for God. A fit dwelling for God. It was the perfect ark in which God's law could remain unbroken. Do you realize in the Old Testament, the law in the hand of Moses, those two tables of stone, were broken. There was only one place in all the Old Testament where the law of God was held unbroken in its entire integrity. And that was in the ark, Deuteronomy chapter 10. You have two more tables of stone written by the finger of God and placed in the ark and covered by the mercy seat. And it's Christ our ark that gives you the place where the law of God is perfectly and absolutely kept to perfection. His body was so framed, so fitted, so furnished when the Holy Ghost was given to him without measure, so furnished and fitted that in him the ark, the law of God, was kept unbroken. And of course that body was the perfect instrument for the full revelation and the full confirmation of the covenant of grace. That body was especially furnished to purchase salvation. That will lead me to a brief statement on the divine purpose in the forming of the body of Christ. In the context of Hebrews 10, it is to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. God gave him a body. Do you see what Hebrews 10 is saying? If sin is to be dealt with, there must be a body that will bear that sin. A body that will bear the wrath of God against that sin. A body in which will burn all the fury of divine indignation and all the fury of divine justice. A body in which all the judgment of God will be requited. Where will you find such a body? Not in bulls and goats. Not even in the bodies that angels assumed at times when they walked looking like men among men. For particular purposes, as for instance when they went to meet with Lot. No. It had to be our body. And the body of Christ was fashioned so that the God-man could suffer for sin. One of the great truths of Christian theology is called the impassibility of God. God cannot be made to suffer. God cannot be relieved of any of his possessions. God cannot be deceived. God is beyond being harmed or hurt by the hand of man. When you stop to think of it, you realize how true that is. as Shed said many years ago, but the essence of atonement is suffering. I remember I used to doubt that statement. But the more I've thought of it, the more I realize Shed, he forgot more than I ever learned. He was right. The essence of atonement is suffering. That's why God prepared a body. A body in which His Son could come and suffer the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. A body in which He might bear our sins on the tree. A body to do what animal sacrifices could never do. A body in which He would put an end to all the ritual of types and shadows from the old economy. A body to fulfill those types and shadows once and for all, as He put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. A body Thou hast prepared me. Do you see something? In coming into the world, Jesus was looking beyond the manger. He was looking to the cross. It is one of the marks of the apostasy that has cursed Christendom, that there's more paganism than Christianity evident in the Christmas season. And even among God's people, there is such an emphasis on the manger that they never get beyond the manger. Oh, I love the story of the Incarnation. But let me tell you, it was merely a means to an end. And in coming to the manger, His eyes were on the cross. You prepared me a body in which to die, in which to bleed, in which to suffer, in which to make atonement for sin. The purpose of God in forming the body was to reconcile God and man. We have noted those words, that holy thing shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Do you see that in the person of Jesus Christ you have two natures, God and man? That which is born and that which is called the Son of God. God and man, indivisibly united in one perfect person forever. But that in itself points us to the work of Christ, in which He will reconcile God and man. Because both God and man find their perfect expression in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of the words of Colossians chapter 1, 21 and 22. You that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. God prepared Him a body that, being man, He could stand in the place of men as our head, our representative. By man came death, says Paul. By man must come the resurrection from the dead. It was in a human body that sin entered. It must be in a human body that sin is paid for. As a man, He could stand in our place. As God, He could satisfy deity. What a picture you have in the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, of the one who spans the gap between God and men, the one who bridges the gulf between heaven and our guilt, and reconciles God and man in the body of His flesh. body thou hast prepared me to bring God and man together in an eternal reconciliation.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.